Thank you, musicians. You make a seat. And maybe you can think of a song that's appropriate for prayer at the end. What a subject. When I was thinking about it, I was actually asked to speak on this subject of prayer. And it, you know, it's with great conviction in my heart that I began to put pen to paper. Because no matter how much we pray, I don't really believe we ever pray enough and spend that time in prayer. There's always something we can pray for and pray with and just communicate with God. So I don't claim to know everything about prayer at all, but it's my endeavor because prayer is about relationship with God. That's what it's about. And in the home friendship groups lately, you've been learning about the subject of resilience. And we all know what resilience means. It means bounce back, or if you're knocked down, keep going. So with prayer, it's the same thing. Just keep doing it. Just keep going. Like, be resilient. Keep doing it. And then the more you pray, the more you will want to pray. And when you begin to get answers to your prayer, you will want to pray even more. And, you know, I didn't come here tonight with any requests or any answers to prayer to share with you. But over the years, I have seen some of the most wonderful, miraculous prayers answered. And it has to be God, because I cannot do those things. My husband cannot do those things, but we have seen men's hearts turned. We have seen governments turned. We have seen lots of things. And the only one thing that you can put it down to is prayer. So that's what it's all about. So Jonathan, or Pastor Jonathan, was preaching on Sunday. He said, "You cannot have peace without prayer." You cannot have peace as a Christian without prayer. If you think about, we all want to be disciples. What does that mean? Disciples, the first bit of that means disciplined. So we have to be disciplined people. We have to be disciplined Christians. And some of us don't really like that word, discipline, because it's hard to be disciplined. We can discipline somebody else, but it is very hard to discipline yourself. But the Bible says that if you can discipline yourself, it's better than being able to rule a city. So obviously, to discipline yourself and to be a disciple is not an easy task. Okay, so let's go into it. Be careful for nothing, the Bible says, but with prayer, okay? So we don't have to worry. We realize we don't have to worry. Why should we worry? And we sing that song here, I Don't Worry. I can't remember the... Sorry? I don't worry when things go wrong. And, you know, I very facetiously, I look around and I think, you're lying. You're lying. Because I know that some people, they do pray, but they just pick it up again and go and worry about it because they think their worry is going to fix it. Well, let me assure you, I don't worry, but I know a God who can fix whatever my need, whatever my request. If I ask according to his word, he can fix it. And that's an exciting, wonderful peace that you can have when you know your God. Okay, listen to this one. Mrs. Prayer Meeting, this was an obituary. Mrs. Prayer Meeting died recently at the First Neglected Church on Ho Hum Avenue. Born many years ago in the midst of great revival, she was a strong, healthy child, fed largely on testimonies and Bible studies, soon growing into worldwide prominence, and was one of the most influential members of the famous church family. For several years, Mrs. Prayer Meeting has been failing in health gradually, wasting away until rendered helpless by stiffness of knees, coldness of heart, inactivity and weakness of purpose and willpower. At the last, she was but a shadow of her former happy self. Her last whispered words were inquiries concerning the strange absence of her loved ones, now busy in the markets of trade and places of worldly amusements. Does that tell you something? Mrs. Prayer Meeting. And I read that and I thought, that sometimes we find ourselves like that, stiffness of knees, coldness of heart, inactivity and weakness of purpose and willpower. She was only a shadow. And I would really like to say that prayer is but a shadow of what I believe the early church knew. And that's terrible for us to even admit to that. But I think because we don't pray the way God wants us to pray, we are losing out. And I believe tonight we need to make prayer a lifestyle. It needs to be our lifestyle. We need to be known as people who pray, not just a religious ritual. Prayer needs to be real. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Notice the second or the third word in it says, "But thou," that means you and me, "when you pray." It doesn't say if, it says when. It's up there. When. That means we have to do it. When? When do you pray? When do you spend time? So we conclude we need to pray, not if we pray. Jesus warned us about a couple of aspects of praying. He said we should not be as the heathen, vain repetitions, Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." So we don't have to keep nagging God for what we want. He knows what we have need of even before we ask. But we are told in the scriptures to ask. Ask and it shall be given. The other aspect of praying he warned us against was Pharisaical praying. And that's trusting in our own self-righteous living. Just because we're good doesn't mean God is going to hear us. We're warned there in Luke 18, verses 9 to 14. "And he spake this parable unto them which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray," in verse 10, "the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners.'" Excuse me. This is terrible. This man is like, he's judging people in his prayer because, you know, I'm not unjust, I'm not an adulterer, or even as the publican, this publican, you know. "I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess." "And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you that this man went down to the house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." We must be careful that we don't get caught up in these two areas, Pharisaical praying and vain repetitions. We must be careful that our trust is in God and not in our prayers. We learn to pray, and the only way to learn to pray is to pray. And each of us need to develop a lifestyle of praying. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. And I've had people over the years, and I've even questioned myself, how can I pray and never stop? I believe my foster mother taught me, she taught me the practice, the presence of God. That meant you could be aware of God's presence every moment of every day. Your heart, your spirit is crying out to God because you know your God. And you are living in that communion, fellowship with Him. It doesn't mean that you have to go into the closet every time you want to pray, which, you know, if you did pray without ceasing, you'd have to be in there all 24/7. It doesn't work like that. But I believe as Christians, as disciples, as disciplined ones, we can learn to know the practice and practice the presence of God. The Bible says in verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians 5:17, now we're looking at verse 18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It doesn't say for everything, because some things are really hard, but in everything. Have an attitude of, you know, many times when we've gone through some hard times, I'm like, God, if you think I can do it, it's all right. I can do it. Because I have a confidence that my God will not allow me to go through something that is going to crush and destroy me. But Lord, okay, if I have to walk this storm, if I have to walk this flooded river, no matter what it is that I have to go through, I know that you know I can make it. And that's enough to keep me going, to make it, to have a confidence in God that He knows me. He knows I'm weak. He knows I'm frail. He knows everything about me. But I want to give thanks to Him, because when I go through this, I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to be victorious. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, first of all, prayer. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks, be made for all men. Paul was trying to tell Timothy, there are some things that need to be done first. And my foster father would tell me, okay, first among books is your Bible. First among money was your tithes. First among people was to seek God. So this is where I get a lot of this teaching is, first of all, what is our first of all? You know, even with this electronic world that we are living in, this social media and all the rest of it, do we, let me use the right terminology, I think it's power up on these things before we talk with our God? You know, there's a few things that I've done and I've felt so quickened that this isn't right. I should push this aside and seek the Lord. What I'm doing is not wrong. It's not that I'm sinning, and it's not that I'm, but it's the first of all that I should be doing. Prayers and supplications, intercessions and giving thanks be made for all men. We need to realize that we can live in the spirit of prayer, whereby we pray all the time. And I hear people say, oh, I pray in the car, I pray in this, I pray in that, I pray. I know we can. We can have that communion with God. Prayer in its many forms has been explored by outstanding teachers, but it's explored by us as we diligently apply ourselves to prayer. Hebrews tells us that God is found by those who diligently look for Him. Diligence is another word like disciple. If you are diligent about something, then you are conscientiously doing something. It's not just haphazard. I am diligent about certain things in my life. I am diligent about prayer. We need to be diligent about seeking our God. intercessions, supplications, thanksgiving are just different words or different forms of prayer. But prayer as a lifestyle is what we need most. And as you begin to learn to pray, you know, a child learns to pray, thank you, Jesus, for this food, amen. Very simple. But as you go on in life, oh, God, I thank you for your provisions. We learn to really communicate. It's not just words, but they're heartfelt words. And then when you start to know people that are going to hell, everlasting torment, and you love that person, then you begin to make intercession for that person. You maybe begin to cry, or you may be this, or you may be that, you know. But that's where it's not just, Lord, bless me today, help me to have a good day. But you've moved into a relationship where you know that unless God touches that person, unless God does something in that person's life, they are going to hell. I remember with regard to Daughters of Zion, many years ago, I read an article, and it was at a church. There'd been an accident, and there was a funeral of a young boy. Tragic as it was, he was killed in a car accident. And at the funeral, the mother obviously was weeping and crying, and, you know, she was distressed at the death of her son. And I believe with all love, the pastor said to her, you know, if you had have cried some of those tears when he was alive, maybe we might not be standing here today. Only God knows. But I want to say that to each of us. If you love somebody, if you care about somebody, and they are not saved, then be real to yourself. They are going to hell, and you are the one that can stand in the gap. If you will but learn to intercede for them. Souls need to be saved. In the book of Ezekiel, it talks about, I look for someone to stand in the gap. Will you be that someone to stand in the gap for those who don't know the Lord? Or maybe those who are backslidden? It will take diligence. It will take discipline. But what a challenge. What a challenge. I remember years ago when we had this young man in the church and he was struggling. And God put on me to pray and to fast for them. And I was beginning to really intercede because heaven is real, but so is hell. And this was a friend of ours, and I just could not bear the thought of everlasting torment. So I prayed and fasted that he would go and repent and he would seek help and this. Anyhow, a little bit later on, the phone rang and my husband was called to go. You know what? It was this guy was seeking help from somebody, and they called for my husband to go. And but I believe not just my prayers, but prayers, intercession made the change in that person's life. Why not? Why don't we want to do that? It takes time, it takes effort, it takes discipline. But prayer as a lifestyle is what we need. There should be special and consistent times set apart for praying. Daily time dedicated to conversing with God, the weekly prayer meetings that we have in this church, prayer before the services, the other designated times of prayer, you know, the monthly times we have of prayer getting together. But we are missing something when we do not pray without ceasing, and we are not instant in prayer, praying always at every remembrance. Shame on us that we don't pray more. And I put that in myself, shame on us, not shame on you, but shame on me that we don't pray more. Because I have a God who is all-powerful. And he just needs us to ask. My foster mum was a wonderful example about praying without ceasing to me and to many others. We learn to pray by praying. And there are sometimes, even my own life, we talk so much about prayer. about praying. You know, this, and we talk about praying. You know, the only thing to do really is to get in and pray. That's what we need to do, not just talk about it, but do it. How prayer affects our lifestyle. When we take time each day to set aside time for prayer, we can have faith and believe that our prayers have been heard, and we can trust that they will be answered. In Philippians 4, chapter 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." That's a wonderful confidence. Be careful for nothing. He's telling you, don't worry. Just cast your cares on Him, for He cares for us. Prayer gives us a refreshed spirit. If you are feeling dry and in that desert place, get to prayer and you will feel the presence of God come. Even if you don't feel the presence of God, stay there. Stay there. Keep praying, because God will come and His presence will come. When we feel as though the whole world is closing in on us, ever felt like that? Nothing's going right. This is happening, that's happening. You know, you just feel like your world is just getting so small. Pray. God will give you a fresh start and the hope that life will eventually get better. Sometimes prayers are not answered immediately. Other times prayer is not always answered in the way that we would want it to be. But God, in His own time and in His own way, does and will answer prayer. All prayer is answered. Sometimes it's a yes, sometimes it's a no, sometimes it's a wait, sometimes it's this or that, but all prayer is answered. If God gave me everything that I've ever asked for, man, I think I would be a mess. You know, there's been some times when it's been a no or it's been a wait. And I get all, you know, but all prayer is answered. Prayer moves mountains in our life and it changes circumstances. When we pray in our own quiet place or in the church or with other believers, we can expect things to happen, because you know what the Bible says? Where two or three agree together, touching things concerning heaven, He'll hear us and He will answer us. That's a wonderful thing. If you feel like your prayers are not getting answered, go to someone and say, "Will you pray with me?" And let's pray the prayer of agreement that this will happen. We just did that a couple of weeks ago about a health issue. Two people prayed together in agreement, and praise God, the answer was all good. I don't know whether to say positive or negative, because, you know, it was a positive result, but it was a negative test. So what do you say? I don't know. But, you know, it was wonderful that God answered the prayer of agreement, because we were talking and concerned about the things of heaven. So, prayer of agreement, two or three agree together. It's great to have a prayer partner. It's also a good thing to have prayer time by yourself. Prayer makes us change ourselves. I read the scripture there before about the man who, you know, he went in there and one man was so humbled before God and the other man, you know, he was so high and mighty. He wouldn't have got his prayers answered. But prayer makes us change ourselves. It burns out our selfishness, and God can begin to make us more like Him. As we begin to see the things that are important to Him, and they in turn become important to us, I believe that's having the mind of Christ, having the mind of God. He is not willing that any should perish. When you see somebody, does your heart go out to them in compassion? Because God's heart does. He wants to see them saved. What about us? Do we feel the way that God feels about people? If we give our lives to God and open our hearts, God can move into our lives and use us to help hurting people change their lives, and we can help to change their lives. Prayer makes us become more Christ-like. Prayer gives us direction and purpose in life. God is our creator, and he has a plan for each of our lives. When we pray and ask for wisdom, does he uphold it? No, not according to the book of James. He gives to every man if we would ask. He gives it liberally. So if you're lacking wisdom in a certain situation, ask God. He's just willing to give it to you, but you need to ask. Simply defined, prayer is an expression of a love relationship with God. Prayer is most often thought as talking to God, and this is a critical component of prayer. But prayer is more than that. In prayer, not only are we communicating to God, but as we worship and as we read his word, he begins to make himself known to us. In Psalm 62, David knew the secret of a prayer lifestyle. He said in Psalm 62, he said, "Truly my soul waits upon God. From him cometh my salvation." We cannot be saved of ourselves, but on God if we would wait our salvation. And David goes on to say, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God." We cannot do things of ourselves. Goodness me, you know, if it had come to selling a house, man, I would have given that house away. Because I had prayed. I don't know why it took so long for a house to sell. But God knows, working in me, wanting to do something. But it only took one person. I had to take some of my own medicine. And even with regard to taking time for prayer, you know, people say, oh, you need an hour of prayer a day. Well, last year, and I'm being sympathetic to some of the young mums here who work and have children and that, I was looking after the grandchildren before school. I'd take them to school and then I'd go and get them from school. My day was really short. And then you have them after school and you have to do the homework. You have to do this, get dinner, get to church, get this. And people were saying you need to have an hour of prayer. Well, I don't want anyone to have condemnation tonight. But it was hard to find time to pray when everything is chaotic and busy. But we still need to do it. I'm an early morning person, so I like to get up before the world starts, you know, and have a time of prayer and worship and thanksgiving to God. But I understand, you know, it is not easy, but we do need to make time. We do make time for things, everything else. So first of all, prayer. So I understand, and I'm not putting guilt on anybody. Daniel, he knew what it was. And what I love this scripture in Daniel chapter 9. "And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sins of the people of Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the evening time." Listen, what happened in prayer in chapter 9, verse 22. "And he informed me and talked with me and said, oh, Daniel, I am come forth to give thee skill and understanding." That came when Daniel was in prayer. Do you need to be touched? Do you need to be informed? Then be in prayer. Do you need skill and understanding? I know we all do. Be in prayer because he will give it to us. Daniel knew what it was to have a prayer life, for he says, "While I was praying, the Lord touched me and gave me understanding and wisdom. He set his face to seek the Lord by prayer and fasting. In verse 5 it says, he was interceding and repenting because of the nation had moved away from trusting God. So when we go before the Lord, yes, we have to have a humble heart and we have to ask God to forgive us. And maybe if we're praying for somebody who is far from God, maybe we could make intercession. Abraham did. You know, he said, oh, you know, if there's 40, 45, da-da-da-da-da, and goes right down to, I believe it was 5, you won't destroy. I believe we, diligent, disciplined Christians, can keep the wrath of God from being poured out on our loved ones. Unto the Lord belongs mercy and forgiveness. I believe when we take time each day to draw away from the things that consume us, demand and scream for our attention, it will help us to focus on the real, important, eternal things. Daniel wrote a little bit later on, he wrote, they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And I believe that knowing is in relationship. They that have relationship with God shall be strong and do exploits. Communion with God, being continually aware and in his presence and aware of his voice. I read this week where a pastor said, you don't need to teach me how to dance. We didn't get taught how to dance in the church. We don't need to be taught how to sing and shout, but to pray, even the disciples said, teach me to pray. So prayer is not easy. It's not that it's difficult. It's just something that we have to draw aside from things and begin to pray. Prayer is another thing. Edward Hale wrote, and some of you already know this, I am one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the thing that I can do. I'm admitting we cannot do everything, but we should not refuse to do the thing that we can do. And you might say, what difference can I? I'm only one. What difference can I make? It was one that was chosen by God to confront Pharaoh, just one, and lead the children of Israel out. One was called to deliver the Israelites from the Midianites. One was called to save the entire Jewish race. Only one took the stand against the mocking Goliath. How many did it take to feed the crowd of hungry people? Just one. Oh, what one can do. The encouraging thing is that none of these situations that I have mentioned made a huge difference in their world possessed any great or notable differences. They just were like you and I. Moses, he couldn't even speak properly, but God chose him to lead the children of Israel out. Gideon argued with God and said, how can I save Israel? I am the least in my family. Queen Esther, she was an orphan. And you know the story there that she called them, those around, to fast and pray, and then she would go before the king. David, he was just a lowly shepherd boy. One little boy willing to give up his lunch, he fed a whole multitude of people. What about the Samaritan woman? She told people, it made a whole difference in the whole town. You know, people scorned her, but when she had a relationship with God, she made a difference in the city. She went and told everybody, come see a man. But each of these had a desire to make a difference in their world, and that was what God needed. He just needs one. He needs you. He needs me. The Bible says, if we will ask of him, I will give it you. Ask, and he will give it us. So again, I want to remind you, the first study we started was resilience series. Keep showing up. I believe that was the first meaning of the word that was given. It was just keep praying. Just keep going into that prayer closet. Even though the heavens feel like brass and it's so dark and it's so gloomy, don't give up. Never give up. Get a hold of God and don't back off, even if it seems impossible. Remember, if what you desire lines up with the word of God, God will bring it to pass. And we know about Daniel, when he prayed, you know, the Lord immediately sent the answer, but the prince of Persia kept back the answer. There was a fight in the heavenlies over what Daniel was requiring to happen. But nevertheless, God had answered that prayer, and Daniel remained faithful until the end. So remember the woman, what she got what she wanted, and I guess I fit into this category a little bit. This woman got what she wanted because of her importunity. She was knocking on that door at midnight and nobody wanted to get up, but she was making such a ruckus. What happened? The guy got up and gave her what she wanted. So we need to overcome resistance with persistence. Be persistent. If you are requesting something that lines up with what the Word of God says, then be persistent. And seeing souls saved is what the Word of God talks about. So ask, simple to ask, seek, look, keep looking, knock, and the door will be open. In asking, we will receive, seeking, we will find, and knocking, we will be heard. And that's what I want to leave with you tonight is be persistent. Take prayer, make prayer a lifestyle. That's what I call this tonight, prayer a lifestyle of prayer that will make the difference, not only in your life, but in the life of those that you love and those that come in contact with you. When you know your God, you shall be strong and do exploits. When you know that your God has a plan and a purpose for you, you become bold. You are not timid. I remember being up in Mizoram and the air flights wouldn't go as was quite common. We had to drive a whole long way, and the whole day, 2 days in fact, the flights had not left. I can't even remember where we drove to. The regular airport was closed, so we had to drive about 8 hours to another airport. And we went there, you know. Even in the morning, I made a declaration when we got to the airport that our flight will go. And I was like, okay, because we had an international connection to make. And as we're checking through, the guy said, no, the flights are not going, hasn't been going for the last 2 days. I said, oh, no problem. Tomorrow, mine will go. Yeah, right. So anyhow, we go back to the restaurant and to the motel and we wait there, and we had this professor come over to us and he said, oh, I believe you've been out to the airport. He said, how did it go? I said, oh, there's no flights and da 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 da. I said, but tomorrow, no problem, because my flight's going. He's like, do you know that? I said, oh, absolutely. He said, what airline are you on? And I mentioned the name of the airline, but he had a ticket on another air flight. And we got to talking. He ended up being a professor of chaos. Now, I don't really know what that means, but anyhow, he was a much learned man, trusting in himself. I only know one that I can trust in. And I knew that if we didn't get that connecting flight, then everything would be just messed up. So I made it to the security people, to the check-in people. My flight will go tomorrow. In the morning when we wake up, I looked out the window. I could not see past my hand. It was so smoky and so foggy. It's like, Lord, I already told everybody. I was like, you can't let me down. And anyhow, we get in the car to drive to the airport, and I'm like, this is terrible. I can't even see. But Lord, I've told everybody that my flight's going. So anyhow, we drive, we get to the airport. We sat there for like maybe 2 hours waiting, as you do when in Mizoram, you check in a long time before. When the doors opened, I could not see across the road. I'm not kidding. It was pretty gloomy. And it's like every time I would see this negative report, I would say, Lord, I have proclaimed your name. I know it's your will. I believe, Lord. And just maybe 2-3 hours after we were waiting, I heard the sound of an aeroplane. And I thought, it has to be mine. It can't be anybody else's. It's got to be mine. And I got to talking and, you know, anyhow, when I saw it come up on the screen, it was my flight. And I go, oh, praise the Lord, you know, right in the middle of the airport. And as we're lining up and getting on the flight, do you know what? We saw this professor of chaos in the line. He went and bought a ticket on our air flight just to cover his all his bases. My husband challenged him about that when we got to Calcutta. But, you know, God is interested in us. And it's not just the money of the flight. It was everything that was connected with that. We don't do it for ourselves, but it was a wonderful testimony to the greatness of God, because no other flights got out that day, but ours did. And I give God the glory. So prayer, a wonderful, wonderful lifestyle. Because I know I don't have too much more time, I've given you this to take home if you're interested. God loves to hear us pray with fervency, but then he wants us to know his voice when we pray. And I've just written up some things here. Bathe your life in prayer. Believe that God speaks to you. Many of us don't even believe that God will speak to us, but we need to believe that. Find time to be alone with God. Keep a journal of what God says and does. Test what you hear. When you think you've heard from God, test it and see if it lines up with the scriptures. Carefully check all guidance with scripture. And the last one here, but it's not last because of any other reason, but it's very important, and that is to obey God. Obey God. Seek God. Don't just pray words. Have that relationship with the Lord, that he knows you. Like in John chapter 10, it says, my sheep know my voice, and I know their voice. So when we pray and when we cry out to God, he knows who I am, and I want him to know who I am. And I want to know his voice when he speaks, that I will be obedient. So thank you for listening. I hope I've helped you somewhat. If anything, if I've encouraged you to have a prayer life and get to know God, that's all worth it. So if you would like this, it's here.
Can I just add that prayer is not complicated? Some people, they try to find the magic key to the door that opens up right unto God. But if you're one of his children, if you've repented of your sin, you've been baptized in his name, you're one of his children, there doesn't need to be a magic key. You are his child, and he wants you to talk to him. When my wife told you the story about the professor, when we sat in the dining room that night, he did come over and inquire. And when my wife said, our plane is definitely going tomorrow, he said, and in a very, very educated way, and how do you know that? My wife said, because I've prayed. And I can't remember exactly what he said, but he basically communicated that he did not believe in God. A couple of minutes later, I asked him what he was doing in Silchar, and he had been to a university seminar, and then I asked what, and he said a chaos seminar. That's mathematical chaos, by the way. So all of a sudden, we were on the same wavelength. So I said to him, I said, you are a professor of mathematical chaos and you don't believe in God? Because the very, very theory of mathematical chaos basically proves that there is a God. And I told him that. And so it's true. My wife's testimony was so strong, he actually, that our plane, if all the other planes weren't leaving, our plane would be leaving. So he went and bought a ticket on our plane. So even the heathen will stand up and listen when we have faith. And we need to have faith because the Bible says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. If any merry, let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So, is there a secret? Is there a secret? From my own experience, I don't. My wife is a far better prayer than I am, spends a lot more time praying than I do. I must admit that. And I'm telling you that to tell us that there are various ministries. And some people will have the ministry of prayerful intercession before God. They will spend a lot of time with God in prayer. And so, if you feel to pray, and when you finish praying and got nothing else to pray about, then, of course, love the Lord, but don't feel condemned, because the devil will use condemnation to terminate your prayer life. Because your prayer life is a journey. A journey. Yes, because when we think we're finished, when we think that we've reached a level of prayer in our life, we realize there's still further to go. I don't know anybody who's satisfied with their level of prayer, because many have reached very, very high levels of intercession and prayer with God, but yet they are the first to tell you they would only desire to reach out for God even more than they have. There are always great depths. Why? Because this uncovers the deepest yearning of our human soul in its desire to reach out and touch God. Every one of us are made with a part inside that wants to touch God. And because of our flesh and the things that surround us, we never ever really feel that we have gone far enough. So our human soul still desires more. Even though we may see a mighty miracle, we're not satisfied. Even though we see the hand of God move through our prayer, he does the work, but it's our prayer. We're still not satisfied. We always feel there's further to go. And I'm finished by saying, because prayer should come as a result of our relationship and not so much a result of our needs. We've got to stop praying about our needs and pray on the level of a relationship that we have with God. Spend 99% of your time just talking to God talk to him and praise him, thank him, just like you would with somebody who is human that you love. Spend 1% of your time asking, and the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man will avail much. All right, I just jotted those little notes down while my wife was speaking. She prefers to say she speaks. She's not a preacher. All right, let us all stand.